Okay, we're learning Kuf Tzadik Hey. We're up to Sif Yud Aleph. However, I want to return to the Taz of Katan Zion that I mentioned last week regarding the IVF. And I'm not going to repeat the Pratimet that we discussed last week. However, during the week, I had the following Shaila. Somebody who I know well, former Talmud in Yeshiva, called. And he had the following Shaila. He has a need to do IVF. I'm talking about IVF from the husband. And there's really a double need. What they do today, it's incredible, the technology that they have today. But he has a genetic condition which causes most of the pregnancies of his wife to become prematurely aborted. Her body doesn't carry the baby through. What they do today, and they do this for many different genetic conditions, is they do they take the sperm. And they fertilize it in the lab. They do IVF, and then they fertilize a number of embryos. People who go through this, there are two parts. The woman has to give her ovum, and the man has to give sperm. A woman giving ovum requires a retrieval; it has to be removed from the body. And during a typical ovulation, there are only one or two eggs that mature in any given month. So what they do is a woman goes for hormone shots that cause the ovaries to produce many ovum in that month. And they do the retrieval. They take out 8 to 10 eggs and fertilize it in the dish. What they do then is they do what they call PGD. They do a pre-implantation genetic determination. The PGD is they take some of this. It's incredible. You're talking now about a fertilized egg. It could be 4 or 8 or maybe 16 cells, the whole egg. And they take some of the material and they analyze it analyze the genetic material for the DNA. And they can tell you which of the eggs. Now, I don't know if the eggs are swimming around. I don't know how they label it. You know, they put a little label on each one. But they can tell you which one has the genetic disorder and which does not. And they isolate the ones that are viable. And those are the ones that they implant into the mother. By the Goyim, they implant many. They take as many as are viable. Because the implantation is not guaranteed to work. So they implant many, and then they just abort. If there are 4 or 5 or 6 pregnancies, they just abort. They don't call it abortion. They call it fetal reduction. They reduce the number of. In other words, they kill the other ones and leave the one or two. But from Yidden, usually. They just put in 2 or maybe 3 because they don't all necessarily take to the uterus. So anyway, this fellow called. He was going through the cycle. They did IVF, and they got the results of the testing, of the PGD testing. Now, one of the things is, once they do this testing, they know which embryos are going to be male and which are going to be female. And since he already has a son, he wanted to know if he's obligated, because of the mitzvah for Ravu, to implant dafka female eggs into the into his wife's uterus, or lav dafka. He said he's not asking because he has an idea what he wants to do. He's just asking, shayla lalacha, does he have to put in the female eggs to be Mekayim for Ravu? So why do you say to that child?
It's amazing that that's the only child you have.
Well, we've been through it already a number of times. And this is the remaining child.
There's only one that one does not take
No, they're going to put in two. By him, they always put in two. Question is whether he has to choose the female, the females, or he can choose. Well, they're going to be twins. They're not going to be identical twins unless they become identical twins later. But they're going to put in two. They always put in two.
So you
could have twins. What's interesting is that there's an earlier shaila to this. The shaila is he mekayim pruu ravu by having children in this manner? Is that a kiyum of pruu ravu? Now, of course they have chiyus. What do you mean? You mean you know how to throw them out? So that's a separate issue of Shchas Azera, whether you're allowed to throw them out. That's a totally separate issue, and it's a tough issue. Their logic dictates that right now they can't become anything. There shouldn't be an Isser. But the Apais can hold that there is a Shchasa. Some people freeze it. And they use it for a future. And it's amazing. They can freeze these things. No, the diseased ones, the ones that can't carry through, there's no Shchas Azera. It's not Zera that's viable. No, but what Moshe is asking, if they are male ones, you're going to put in the female ones, you're going to flush away the... There's no question. We're talking now about the good ones. That what do you do with the extra good ones? All right. It's sort of a separate issue. The question of whether you're Mekayim Pruu Ravu. Very good. Okay. The issue of the Kiyum Pruu Ravu is on the page of Shulchan Aruch and Eben Ezer. It's very interesting that the Chelkis Mechaikok, it's in Eben Ezer, Siman Aleph, right in the beginning. Chelkis Chaysev Kat Neches. Yesh Lestapek Isha Shenisabra Bambati Im Kima Av Pru Ravu. So he has this Safik. The Chelkis Mechaikik is Mesupik Isha Shenisabra Bambati if the husband is Mekayim Pru Ravu. With the husband's sperm. We're talking now everything with the husband's sperm. So the Beis Shmuel writes about this Chalkas Mechaikak that Yizicha Mekayim Pru Ravu, and his Raya is basically from this Taz. What do we have here in the Taz? Now, it's actually a Taz in the name of the Bach. So the Beis Shmuel brings a Raya from here. It's we learned in the here in Taz of Katan Zayin Isha Tizar Shalai Tishka Val Sad Nishashach Alava Isha Acher Tazayin said that if a woman becomes pregnant with somebody else's Zera, the child that's born is considered to be the relative of the other children of this father. Is this father's daughter? Follow? What did Taz say? A woman shouldn't become pregnant with Zera Shalacher, because then you're going to have a problem of Shami'isa Achaisei Mei Aviv. That means that the Taz is saying that when the child is born, the baby that's born is the son of this father. So Zakti Beis Shmuel, we see it's the son of the father, and therefore it's a Raya that you're Mekayim Pru Ravu.
What's the Shushtel? It wasn't put in. The question is how you put it in. How's
so what's if it's put in Bambati?
The period of rhythm is only when you're Mekayim to the normal channels.
And the fact that it's a relative is not a Raya. Alright, so the one who says this Taina, right, the Beis Shmuel is being a Raya from the Taz. So the Taz in Eben Ezer says it's no Raya. In other words, the Taz says the Beis Shmuel brought a Raya. They were contemporaries. I think they had the same Rebbe at one point in their life. And I don't know, there's a Sefer Chanukas HaTorah, a Chumash. They call him the Rebbe of Herschel. In the Agdama, they have a list of his Talmidim. So they write that the Shach learned by him, the Taz learned by him, the Beis Shmuel learned by him. given the, how many times they argue, it must have been a very rowdy class, you know, if they were all there at the same time. But at any rate, the Shach printed later than the Taz. It was a younger problem.
Even this pilot, 100% there, must have been a rowdy class anyway.
Okay, good. Anyway, the Taz writes, Ein Zeraya, the Shema L'chumra Amrinan, L'kulalai Amrinan. Maybe the L'chumra that Shamir Shalai Yisa, we say, but L'kulai, we came for Ravu, maybe not. The Taz, Simon Aleph. In Ebenezer. So this is a Chagas Mekah is Mesupik, Peshul says Yemekayim Puravu, and Taz is Mesupik. The Miches Chinuch says Yemekayim Puravu. He brings a raya, he has a yisayid, the mitzvah aleph, that Puravu is a result based mitzvah. There are some mitzvahs that are maisa mitzvah. The mitzvah is to shake the lulav. It's not a sort of a result based mitzvah. The other mitzvahs, or the mitzvah is the result that comes out. Some place can hold, and we're going to probably hold that Tadlokas Nerish Shabbos, covered Shabbos, the mitzvah is the result. We're going to probably says, if a lady is Makabel Shabbos, and she forgot the light, can have a guy light for you, and you can make a bracha. Even though there's no shlichus l'akum. But as long as you cause the candles to be lit, you don't need a maisa mitzvah, you need the result. The Michas Chinuch says Puravu is a result-based mitzvah, and he brings an interesting raya. He brings, I think it's Yerushalmi, that says that if somebody fathers a Jewish child when he's a guy, he fathers a Jewish child when he's a guy, and then he's Megayer, he has a kiyum of Puravu. What does that mean? He didn't do the Maisa mitzvah. At the time he fathered the child, he was a guy. Nevertheless, because the mitzvah is the result, since Lamaisa he has a child or Zachar in a keva, he's Mekayim for a Ravu. So Michas Chinuch brings a raya from there that a Jewish child. So Michas Chinuch brings a raya from there that Puravu is based on the result. The same thing if someone fathers a child as a cotton and the child is still there when he's a gadol, there's a kiyum of Puravu. What?
No.
This is what the Michas Chinuch says. Sorry, I don't know. But what? It's even a bigger chiddush. But it's a right to the aside. That's what he says. It's a right to the aside that the mitzvah. So it's a very interesting tshuva in the Ragged Shava. The Ragged Shava. It was a Meister Shahaya in the Ragachov and the Arsamech with Dvinsk, a little shtetl with two great Gedalim at the same time. And one Erev Pesach, they had to make a Siyam in Shul. And the Gabbai had a hard time finding someone to make a Siyam. He had a cotton who made a Siyam on a Masechta. It seems there was a ruckus in Shul that a cotton Siyam shouldn't patter the Bechayim for fasting. So there's all Tumul and Shul, so they sent someone to the Ragged Shava to ask him the Shaila. So the Kasha everybody asks is, why didn't the Ragged Shava just make a Siyam right there? You know, like he has a chance every 5 minutes or something. But anyway, the Ragged Shava answered that it depends if Talmud Torah is a result-based mitzvah or a Maisa mitzvah. You see, if a cotton fathers a child, is Mekayim Puravu. The Maisa mitzvah doesn't count. You see, if it's a result-based mitzvah, even if you do it as a cotton, it's good. So he brings rayas that Talmud Torah is a result-based mitzvah. There's a Maisa mitzvah to learn. But there's a mitzvah to know, Yedias HaTorah. And Memelo, he says that the Siyam is a good Siyam. That's what he writes. But anyway, if for what? The Gemara says, the Gemara says not, right? The Tosfos says, above us. But, let me finish, 1 second. So the Michas Chinuch says that there's a key in Puravu. Rav Moshe has a tshuva on this. If IVF is a key in Puravu, it's an Ebenezer Bey's tshuva yudches. And he has an interesting mahalach. He says Puravu is a Maisa HaMitzvah. Not like the Michas Chinuch. That it requires a Maisa HaMitzvah. If you have a child as a guy or as a cotton There's no Yemekayim de Mitzvah Puravu. So Rav Moshe holds that it's the Zman HaMitzvah. The Maisa HaMitzvah, it's a mitzvah to father a child. It should be, has to be done Derev Biyah to Yemekayim de Mitzvah. He says that the Zman HaMitzvah ends when you already have a son and a daughter. My first son, that's an end to the Zman HaMitzvah. Halachi is if loy aleinu, someone has a son and a daughter and the son dies, so he has to do the mitzvah again. So again he has the mitzvah. I was mekayim it already. So he says, no, it's always a mitzvah. Just, it's sort of, the Zman HaMitzvah ends when you have a son and a daughter. That's what he says, although he says a b'lashon safik, just to reject the Michas Chinuch.
So,
Zina says that it's a kiyum of puravu, you mekayim the mitzvah. Ramesh says, you are mekayim the mitzvah. You still have to go, if you can, and be mekayim the mitzvah. You have a p'tur, but not a kiyum. You have a p'tur in this man, but not a kiyum ha-mitzvah. When somebody fathers a child the other way. And that's Ramesh's hagdara. Although he doesn't, at the end of the day, with all this, it lies a pretty murky issue as to whether there's a kiyum puravu. The only one who has a clear psak is the Beis Shmuel and the Michas Chinuch who say, you are mekayim puravu. The others are all mesupik. Regarding this Shaila, I wasn't really sure at the moment what to answer him. And I mentioned yesterday here in Shul that many years ago, when I had only boys, as many of you know, I had 7 boys before I had a girl. And after I had 4 or 5 or 6, I don't remember, I asked Rav Palm the following Shaila. There's a Tfilas HaRamban that people say before a Leil Oina. The Tfilas HaRamban is a nusach, the daven for good children. And part of the nusach is Banim Scharim. It's part of the nusach of the Tfilas HaRamban. So I asked Rav Palm, given the fact that I have only boys, and I haven't had a daughter, whether I should leave out Banim Scharim, maybe I should say, Beferish Nekevas. Because not that personally I care, I'll leave the baby as well. But as far as being a kind for Ravu, I should have to say the kavus. So Rav Palm said, no, you do what you do, and your Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. So I pressed the issue. I asked him, I said, I don't understand, Mamon Hashach. If I feel my tefillah doesn't do anything, so I'm not bothering to say it, I might as well stay home, I might as well not say it. Elamai, I understand, Ribbono Shel Olam answers tefillahs. So if my tefillah does something, I should be mechuyev l'shtadl to have in the keva, to be mekayim the mitzvah of Purim and have in the keva. If this helps, I should be obligated to do it. So Rav Palm disagreed. Rav Palm said the chiyev l'shtadl for a mitzvah is the normal way, is the natural way. Everything else, we don't find there's a chiyev to be mismal for the keva because he had zachar. He said, the chiyuv is in the natural way. Now, what? No, I left it that way. God just gave me a daughter. God did it on his own. Without my help. What? Okay. But I remember thinking, I felt awkward pushing the issue, because Rav Palm only had sons. He didn't have any daughters. So, yeah, I'm going to push it. I don't know. But so I don't know how far that goes. If you say Puravu is the natural way, whatever else happens, happens. And no one's going to say that a normal person who has sons is mechuyev to go to IVF and do this PGD to make sure he has a daughter. No one's going to say that. So here, where the PGD is done already, and there's going to be an implantation anyway, whether you're obligated or not obligated, it's a little difficult. But what I told him at the moment was to tell them to put in the ones that are most viable. They're not all exactly the same, whatever the numbers that they have for different readings of the fertilized egg. So I told them to put in the ones that are most viable, and we'll see. I'll let you know in 9 months how it turns out.
Is this PGD, is this something one should do Shasat Chag, or someone should do, let's say someone has 5 boys, or 5, or 10, or whatever he wants, just wants to have more kids. Can you do this optional, is this only a head to...
It's interesting. The the issue, first of all, PGD, just for the fun of it, it runs about $20,000 a shot with everything. So, I think if someone is infertile, it might be covered by insurance, but somebody like you say has got 8 or 9 kids, it just wants to go on. I doubt whether insurance will cover it. But anyway,
halachically,
there's an interesting discussion, separate discussion, about going through these things just for gender testing, just for gender preference, whether a person can do all these things. I've never had people ask me this type of shaila maisa, but there are tshuvas on the topic. And I think Ramesha writes a lashon that to go through the whole procedure just for preferences is a bechura davar. Doesn't say it's aser, but he says it's ugly. It's a disgusting thing. And you have children naturally. If a person got children naturally, he does everything naturally. This thing is only for situations where there's a necessity to go through it.
I heard one of the sisters not keep a test, and he said that let's say you have a few of the eggs that you're going to do, and so the answer is Yasha. At that point, can you decide if you want a boy or a girl?
That's his question. That's exactly what he's talking about.
Said, at that point, you're allowed to choose.
So our question is, are you obligated to choose? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Are you obligated? Also, I don't know if they told Rebbe Yashiv that it's not necessarily so that all the fertilized eggs are equally viable. The question would be...
You said you suggested to do the most viable.
The most viable. I don't know if Rebbe Yashiv was told that they may not all be equally viable, in which case he may have answered, I don't know what he would have said. And nowadays you could ask, in case of Tatz or Yashiv. I've seen that as a raya, as a possible raya, that you're not mechuyev to do other things. The Gemara says in Erevin that isha mezras tchila yeledes ben, ish mezria tchila yeledes bas. Now, what exactly that means biologically is a question, but the Gemara says from that that if someone is bayil, v'chayz of a bayil, someone has 2 bias in the same night, by the bias shnia we assume isha mezras tchila. Man's zera comes later, and the women's, whatever it means, the woman's masriya already came. So it says somebody's bayil v'chayz of a bayil is more likely to have a son. I think Gemara says about Rav Gamliel, about one of the Tanoim, that he had a lot of sons, and he said because he was a bayil v'chayz of a bayil. So the Gemara has such a thing. I remember years ago, it must have been Rabelsky, I don't remember for sure, I had an article, they still have a Science Times, haven't touched the New York Times in about 15 years. But I have a section of Science Times. So on the front page of Science Times, they had an article about birds, that in the mating of birds, the offspring are more likely to be the same gender as the bird with prettier feathers, what do you call it, plumage. With prettier plumage, the offspring are likely to be the same gender, more likely, statistically, to be similar, which might the suggestion was made, it has to do with Ishma's Raz Tchila, like the male is more excited than the female if it's more attractive. But anyway, be that as it may, my raya just is, why did Chazal say to be kind per revu you have to do these things? To be kind per revu you should be mechol, you say some in aleph. Seems that the per revu, like Rapam said, you do normally, and the Rabbi Shalom runs it. However, the Rabbi Shalom takes care of it, he takes care of it.
So then if a person has no children, he would not be mechuyev to do IVF.
That may be true. That's per revu, he wouldn't be mechuyev to do IVF.
I mean,
it's certainly, if these places say not mechuyev per revu, they certainly hold you not mechuyev. Right? Those places holding not mechuyev per revu certainly hold.
Now, that's if you're mechuyev, you have to go out of your way.
I mean, saying even if you are mechuyev, you may not be obligated. I think everyone would agree that there's no obligation. Now, let's return to Kuf Tzadik Hei. It's just interesting that book, we learned this Taz last week, and the Shiloh came up during the week. We're up to Sifir Aleph. All right, we're coming to the end of the list of Harchakis. The list of Harchakis is made so that there be an awareness, a constant awareness of the Issa between them. And Sifir Aleph is the Issa that's only on the woman. Asa la'atziya mitasei b'fanav. A woman is not allowed to make the bed in front of her husband. V'davka prisa sadina v'amachasa. Davka spreading out the sheets and the covers with derechiba. But doing something, not exactly clear what it is, which is a pain in the neck. She can make the bed down in front of him. Even if he's aware that she's doing it. Now here, I'd like to point out that the taich of making the bed, atzas hamita, we have in Hilchos Shabbos, the Simen Shin Beis, it's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch, to my knowledge, doesn't bring it. It's a Gemara, it's a Rambam, and Magen Avraham brings it, the Simen Shin Beis. Again, to my knowledge, it should be somewhere in Shulchan Aruch, not aware of it, but an Isser on Shabbos to make the beds. That is, an Isser on Shabbos to make beds, because it's a Chana L'Chayel. It's preparation for the weekday, unless it's in a place where it's a room that people go and it's not nice, so then you can do it. The expression making your beds in English and Hatzos Hamita in Lashon Kodesh appear to be very different things. Hatzos Hamita is preparing the bed for sleeping, getting the bed ready for going to sleep. It wasn't the practice in their time to have pillows and covers on the bed all day. The bed was doubled up as a seat. Used to sit on the mita when they ate. And before you went to sleep, they spread out the covers, the sadina and the mechasa, and the pillows, the rechibas, preparing it for going to bed. So we say making the bed in English, we talk about making the bed neat, not preparation. When you go to sleep, you unmake the bed, right? Because as long as the cover is covering the pillow, you know, you got to get yourself between the cover and the pillow, so you really have to pull away the cover, insert yourself, and then put the cover back. So the making of the bed, as we talk about on Shabbos, is not a question of achana l'chayil, because it's not achana l'chayil, it's achana for Shabbos. It's for that day that the room looked neat. And therefore, the I saw in the Tzais HaShulchan, in Shulchan Aruch there, he says, look, in the Chesnida, you'll see atzas hamita doesn't mean making a bed like we have today. It means making the bed ready to sleep, because that's what it says here. Davka priest sadina v'machasu shederechiba. So it appears that the taich of atzas hamita here is 100% clear to me what this exactly means. But I'm not sure exactly. It sounds to me like this is saying that. I don't know, maybe they had straw and they had to stick it back into the sheet every, right? They slept on straw, right? The beginning of Masechta Shabbos, you know, it talks about sleeping on straw, moving the straw with your body to make it al tzmuktzeh.
It's always, understood, folding the talus, it's much easier, it's just as easy to put on talus when it's not folded as when it's folded. So why is that achuna?
Well, folding a talus, the rabbi says achuna, most Rishonim say folding a talus is tikkun habeged, right? That's why the mechalkin, white beged and not a white beged, a new beged, an old beged. The folding a talus to shayla is more in like keeping it. I think the rabbi calls it achana, but all the other rishonim don't call it achana. It's a shit beis, which is the simit on the cleaning clothing.
You want folding, you don't
You don't want to crease the talus. But not want to crease is not a problem. It says that Eitzah, Mishnah Berurah brings an Eitzah to fold it not on the creases, which works just as well. I remember upon Shabbos after davening folding the talus, but just not on the creases. You know, it has the iron creases that you get from the cleaners. So he folded, instead of putting the quarter to the quarter, he put it 2 inches off and folded it that way. So What?
Do it anyway.
So that's what you. So you're lazy, so you do it anyway. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know.
During the week, too.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to leave that all week long, or
You left it all week long.
Then why is that not what we call?
Because it doesn't become a crease. Wool doesn't get a crease.
According to
Rabbi,
that would be
the hafana. Yeah, it's hard to know what type of hafana it is. You just want to stick it into your talisman. Okay, anyway, that's Sifyud Aleph. It's Atzah Savita. Sifyud Beis. Here we have an interesting machlaikis. It's a good old-fashioned machlaikis Shach and Taz. Let's read the Mechaber and see how the Shach and Taz understand this. Asura litzayk loy mayim lirchayt panav yadav araglav. A woman is not allowed to prepare water for his washing. The olden days, the women used to do these type of things to their husbands. So, to prepare a basin, he's coming from work, he wants to soak his feet. So, to prepare water for him to wash his hands, his feet, his face, certainly his whole body, is asur. Afilah ain't a gaspah, even though she doesn't touch him. Afilah ain't might incite in him, even if she's preparing cold water for his bath. Nevertheless, that's asur. Now, here we have a machlaikis. It's not talking about Shabbos here. Preparing. Yeah, the same shot. Let's say you wash for Habayitzi, and you stick the cup back under the water to she prepared the cup for his water washing. So that's included in the shayla. So we have here the shach. Shach says in Sifkat and Tezayin, Viraglav Kasev Rabbeinu Yaina Sefer Drushas Hanoshim. What a name for a sefer. The Oser Losayis Lufnei Baylo Kitei Shomayim. She's not allowed to put in front of her husband a shistle with water, the kalim. Shirchis bem raglav, neshu derechiba, that's derechiba. She can't put a shistle with water, prepare it for his washing. Now that's the shach, befana. That's the shach, and the simple pshat certainly in the mechaber. Well, the mechaber says, padev yadav raglav.
What about making him a cup of tea to drink? Forget about washing his
hands. We're not talking about drinking. We had before. We had that. I think you ran out right before. We had it last week. We're preparing to drink. So, it's okay. I'm sorry. He runs out to another shear. I don't know. Yeah. Even though the other shear is inferior, but nevertheless. Chas v'shalom, I didn't. Okay, the Taz. Let's learn the Taz, seriously. The Taz has a whole different pshat. Yeah, what's going on here? Listen to the Taz. L'chayre mashma l'loshin zeh, sh'os alite mayim b'kli, v'yurchat zachakach. It's mashma from here, like the Shach said, you're not allowed to prepare water and he's going to wash afterwards. Zok the Taz, be'emes einaykeh, that's not true. This is Lashon HaRashba. He says, look at the Makar. The Rashba says, listen to this. Afilu hu reichetz v'hi mutzakas. He's bathing. And at the same time she's pouring, it's still aser. Shilu lirchetz b'yadeha. To wash him with her hands. She's going to rub his back with soap in the washcloth. Afilu b'lai rechitz aser. He could cure of busters, not to touch him. Asaliga, Philobeswa Katana, Akala Shaina. So you hit a Rajba, there are three types of bathing. There's where she washes him, like you wash a baby. You know, you soap the body. There is he's sitting in the water and she's pouring water into the basin. Today we have plumbing. They're not plumbing. So, you know, you sit in the bath, the water gets cold, you know, pouring some more hot water. So that's case two. Case three is preparing the water. Says the Taz, look at the Rajba. The Rajba and Ahava Amina, the Isser is to wash him physically, to wash his back. So the Taz, that's all said anyway, he's not to touch her, he's not to touch him. Therefore, it must mean pouring water into the bath. So the Taz, it doesn't mean preparing water. It means pouring water into a bath while he's there. Listen to what he says. Akal HaShayinai, Mashma Dubuteres Lechalei Mayi B'Kli V'Yichitz Misham. She's allowed to prepare water in the Kli, and he's going to wash there afterwards. The because of who reichets v'mutzakas, he's bathing and she's pouring. Mashu de b'shas rechitzah shalai he had tzekas. V'su, I'll prove it to you. Dim tefarish the gamze aser. If you say preparing is aser, kasha minolei lesazeh. How did the Rashi know to answer it? The Rashi would thought it means washing with your hand. He proves it's not so. Because kirev basar, he says it doesn't mean washing with your hand because that's kirev basar. Shmami demayri kavim bidi dalav kirev basar. So you can only prove the next step. How does she attack us b'shas ruchitza? Ve'loy ma'adah gam davazeh. She attack us b'shas ruchitz gam kenasa b'lav ki b'der ruchitza. Maybe you'll tie the pouring water into the bath is aser anyway, for a different reason. El b'tab de degas by ayadeh ha'mayim. Hadayzeh miyadah liyadah. Maybe you'll consider that touching him through the water. Now, I'm not sure what he means here, touching him through the water. It means pouring water on his back. That's touching him through the water. If it means pouring water into the tub, so how is that? Yeshlem is zel magai de davaracher. She degaspikli. He degaspikli. She's touching the water, the pitcher for which she's pouring. Hakli b'mayim. The kli is touching the water. Hamayim b'yada. It sounds like it goes right on his hand. Sakadak t'shari k'mashon da'asem b'shem b'chitcher v'dei l'chiba. The Mechaber says Litzayk is aser. Shulchan says Rechitza is aser. So Taz's taina is that Davazesh says by the Kli Tchila B'liyitzik Olav Leimik Rechitza Klal. It's not Rechitza. So we have here Machlaik is Shach and Taz whether preparing water is aser or not. The Shach holds it's aser. The Taz says that it's mutter. You're allowed to prepare water ahead of time. In the later paiskim, what? It's really the mechaber and the shach against the Taz. So the paiskim achrayim, the chavistas, the kitzer, and the chachmasadam are all machmir, although the aruch shulchan is meikel and fana. We're talking. So we have this iser.
Why don't we say nitzav chibur here? It's like the
It's interesting. The Nitzah Chibor, first of all, we pass the Nitzah Glav Chibor. That's so good. And Chatchila by Basabachon. In the Chistarum, it's the Chatchila we pass of the Eva. But I don't know if you can compare the technical Nitzah Chibor to this type of.
What?
Okay, Nitzah Chibur is a question if the Tumah travels up, the Bliya travels up. Yeah, here, to the Kli, she's only touching the Kli. Okay. You mean you can have, it depends, this Chibur, if the Machlaik is Nitzah Chibur or not. Okay. At any rate, Lamaisa, the Shaila, today, Baruch Hashem, we have plumbing. And most of us don't let our wives in the room when we're bathing. And everything is the whole world is different. The shaila comes up basically by preparing negelvasa or mayim achrayim to the table, and perhaps like when you wash negelvasa, putting the cup under the flowing water for a woman for a husband. Regarding mayim achrayim, Rav Palm said that's not rechitza. The way people wash today mayim achrayim, he said that's not rechitza. Today, most people wash. It's almost inexplicable the way people wash Mayim Achrayim today. They touch a little water to the tip of their finger and rub it around. Very hard to call it Rechitza. Mishnah Berurah brings such a minute to use a small amount of water at the tip of your finger, but it talks about washing the tips of your finger, not making one or two fingers wet, which is very hard to understand. It comes from a Kabbalistic idea that the Mayim Achrayim is somehow the water of is citra akra water, and you want to have as little of it as possible. So I don't know. I know the Kafachayim, he says to wash twice. First, you wash your hands normally, and then take a little bit for the Kabbalah Dika reasons. But be that as it may, the way people do Mayim Achrayim at the table, certainly I remember Pops saying it's ridiculous to consider that. To be Yitzikas Mayim L'Rechitza.
But what do you do normally? What do you do normally?
If you do it normally, you have to go to a sink. In our house, we do it normally. We go to a sink and we wash it. This
the
way. I mean, it has 2 whole ounces for 16 people. Yeah, so then you can wash it. And if you want to wash properly, like the Gra says to wash the Raviyas. So you have to go to the sink and wash, or bring Negobot to Shisel to the table by Machrayim. You should do that once. Have them bring, what? He brings a full Shisel.
No, two or three with towels.
Two or three with towels, right? So why don't you just go to the sink, like Mahavi Shayim? They want to make the impression. No, you don't have to do it. Machrayim doesn't have to do it.
So the Gra holds you need to be, but not with
I don't think anybody holds it. So at any rate, this is the Machlokes Shach and Taz. As I said today, Baruch Hashem, we are plumbing, it's not so negative. Sif Yud Gimel. There's a Sheminik brought in Shulchan Aruch, Yeshe, that are not noyig, May Machrayim Bizman Hazeh. If you eat with a fork, your hands don't get dirty from the food. And we assume there's no melstivus today. So then, that's the reason for the minig. It's known that the Gra writes that who says there's no melstivus today? Who says there's no melach that causes damage? So, what should I tell you? It's Yesh Naya Gimel Shulchan Aruch. And Tosis, who brings the minig, says that it's an improper minig, that we should wash. Well, Shulchan Aruch brings this, does bring the minig. And some people don't wash my machrayim. I should mention that if you touch the food with your hands, that everyone holds, you have to wash your hands before you know, if you touch challah with your hands, you don't have to wash, it doesn't get on your hands. But if someone eats french fries with his hands and his hands get oily, there I think even those who are not knowing Marachrayim would agree that the person should wash.
Okay. Woman washes first and then she leaves the cup in the sink.
You're leaving the cup under the sink is another case where this would be a problem. So if there are many people, she puts the cup lapped out for him, whoever comes, that's good. But otherwise. Siv Yud Gimel. Kshem Sha'as Surah Limzaglai. This goes back. He missed serving drinks last week where she was pouring for him. And the Shulchan Aruch has it separately because we had it last week in Siv Yud. For some reason, in Siv Yud Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch brings Kshem Shasur Limzaglai, Kachuam Limzagla. That he's not allowed to pour drinks for her either. Again, it might mean only wine, the Tazbur of Machlaikis. So this is really where it comes up is by Kiddush. A man is not allowed to pour off some Kiddush wine into a cup for his wife, and he's not allowed to send it to her. It's a separate thing that he's not pouring it for her. If it's miyuchid for her. So it turns out, she's allowed to drink from a cup he drank from. It's not aser. But to send her a kaisha bracha is aser. Now that means, in practical terms, is if the kiddush, a man, if there are a number of people at the table, besides his wife, you take, let's say, three people at the table, you put three cups in front of you, you pour wine into three cups, there's no kaisha miyuchid law. And then, or even two, there's no kais ha-miyuchid la, and then they could take the wine, it's not an issue. Or, what we do sometimes is, we have many guests, so we pour some kiddush wine into a cup that has a lot of wine in it, and it gets passed down, everybody pours off a little bit. So again, it's not limzeg la. If a man and woman are alone, a husband and wife, then she should come and take from his kais. He really doesn't have an option of pouring for her, he has an option of giving to her. So the only thing he can really do is he can drink from the kais, she can drink from it, but then he can't subsequently drink from the same kais. Or he could pour some off and drink from what he poured off. But however he wants to do it, the issa to send her a kais shel bracha is the issa of the sif. What I'm not sure. What, the original kais?
Yeah.
But that's not miyuchid law, that you're going to drink from. That's what it says in the end of the Mechaber, im shayis im heim ba'is e kais, v'shasya, v'shasas I, abasrayu, neslam. So, this basically is the Eitzah. I'm not sure, you're not allowed to be l'shloyach la kais. Does that mean if you put it halfway towards her, it's also l'shloyach la?
If she has to reach for it.
So maybe that's also, just like serving, Maybe here there's such a hate also. There's some yichud lo, there are people around the table drinking. We should say Avasrei. You have to see if his print has Avasrei. I don't know. Anybody have the new prints? I should say Avasrei. The case that they're going on was a case where there were many people. Okay, I know. Okay, Sif Yud Daled. Kol Eilu Archakis, Sarach Laharachik, Beimei Mei Nidusa, Beimei Mei Libuna, Shem Koyi Mei Sfirasa. This is, should be Pasha to all of us. The Archakis are Sai when she's actually seeing Dam, Sai when she's already clean and counting days. Echilik B'chol Eilu, Bei Raya Machas Mamish, L'moy Tzalas Kesem. Doesn't matter if a Tuba comes from one reason or another. V'yei Shaimrim. There was a minig brought in the Mardechai that now bimei libuna sounds like all the 7 days you're allowed to. The makar of the minig, which the Shach brings, was on the 7th day. If you take a look in Shach Yud Zayin, zelishay darke masha bimei nidasa bimei libuna kavanatvari simin zeh amnom tzasi agob Mardechai bzelishayin. At the end, this means after she counts 7 days, what are you worried about? She's going to be mutter to you right away. It's good to be friendly with her. She should want to go to the mikveh. They have to realize once upon a time they went out to the lake and they cracked the ice and they went to the mikveh. It wasn't exactly the most pleasant experience. So toiv lechol ima kadesh tirtzol litvol imichalol litvol. So this is the minig that's brought in the Mardechai Dakei Moshe, that right before she's ready to go to the mikveh, they would eat with her to be friendly. Azeri isemekilim bimei libuna einir livus mechazeh v'rav Yahu yachid bezeh. That's loshem that I can't share Dakei Moshe. V'abak kosev av lefizeh toyin amekilim shalei hitel biyem azayin. Only in the 7th day, Shachi and Leib, which is us litful. Gam leke hergol aveira. In loch Hashem yovei alev, yam zayin kim she tevelos leherev. V'gam zes svar klushi, etc. You get the idea. In this case, it's something which is really very pasha to us. Agav, in this Taz, he mentions, Rabbi Yosef, if you asked about Kavod Abrius, if people will realize, in this Taz, he mentions a few lines lower, in the Shach, he mentions Sasi Baga, Anashim Aichlim in Nishisei and Bimei Libuna, Shloya Gishu Bnei Abayis. People who eat from the same plate with their wives, so others sitting around shouldn't realize she's a Nida. Shibashu Vaivin Adivei Chachamim. Miskapsu Kol Akilas Vasu Chayim Alze. So it sounds like that's what he's saying. There's an interesting tshuva in the night of Yehuda. Now all this is barely Nagatas because these are not, we all understand our Chokis are. Until she goes to the mikveh. Night of Yehuda, which is brought in the first Pesach Tshuva here, has a shaila about a man and a woman in a place where there's no mikveh lady. They're out somewhere. There's a mikveh available to them. And the shaila is, when she's teveles, to make sure that all the hair goes under the water. So the night of Yehuda has a shaila whether the man is allowed to stand there when she's teveling and make sure the hair goes under. And if it doesn't, to push whatever hair is floating, that should go under the water. So, what's the nidai? She's also l'stakelba until she's tayvel. According to Mishlomel, she's not tar until she comes up, right? Mishlomel says, when you're in the water, you're not tar. Until you come out of the water, you're tar. And certainly, if none of everything's not under the water. So the nidai of Yehuda there is mekel in this shaila. I'm sorry, it's Pesach Tshuva Beis, the beginning of the Simen. He's mekel. He says, she's going to be mutta immediately. Take it for regezem uteres bali yosem in amayim. So l'chein mi yavshir b'yin acher yesh lahatir. Certainly he's being mitzarif this Rav Yah, who is mekel right before and says the same. What?
Touching the
sar
is also not a problem.
Right? Yeah. So he's mekel in this, and I'm sure I didn't look up the tshuva. I'm sure he's mitzarif this Rav Yah, who says the svara for the whole 7th day. Kol shkein if she's mamish aymedes b'mayim. All right. So this is the. This sif, the last three sifim talk about a woman and a husband in case of illness, whether these archakis are more kuladik in a case where somebody is not well. Let's listen if you doubt Tesof Tezayin. I'll try as best I can to cover the shalas that come up. Imhu chayla, one sick talks when he's sick, and one when she is. If he is sick, then lo mishiyam shamshen uzulasa uteres l'shamshen. Now we're not talking about sakana. Sakana, of course, I should say of course, but we'll see that sakana is more. It's talking b'sholay b'sha sakana. Imhu chayla ve'in lo mishi shamshena. If he is sick and there's nobody to take care of him, zulasa. With teres l'shamshay. Now this is not just the way we picture it. There are people who, who have strokes and part of their body is paralyzed, and they just need someone to help get up in the morning, tie their shoes, button their shirt. So imhu chayla ve'in lo mishi shamshena zulasa with teres l'shamshay. Rashi yizar b'yaiser shetuch l'yizar. She should try to choose the things that are more chiba, and as much as she could to stay away from them, and the other things she's allowed to do. So that's Siftezvav. Siftezayin, the other way around. Isha chayla vihinida. What happens if the other way around? And the other way around, v'mochashish. Since it's the derech of the man to be the one who initiates intimacy. So when a man is sick, we're more makel. He's not in a state, state of mind or a physical state to initiate. But the other way around, isha chayla v'hinida, osu labayla liga bakate l'shamsha. He's allowed to be mishamisha, but not touch her to be mishamisha. K'digay l'hakima l'ashkivu l'samcha, to help her get up or get down to support her. That's osur. The Ramah says, "Yeshayimim dim ein loy mishe shem shena muter bakol v'cheinayigim im tzricha harbe lekach." So, according to the Mechaber Shita, there's a difference between a man and a woman. According to the Ramah, the difference is you need tzricha harbe lekach. It has to be a great need. If it's not a great need, then you should not do it. So, this is the basic idea. Rabbi Vadi Yosef has a tshuva in the Abi Aimer. He says that the Eitzah of the Giyai Dei Dover Acher, that to wear gloves, the Issah Dairaisa, the reason the Mechaber is more Machmas is because the Rambam Shita. The Rambam holds that Lesikavu Lugali Serva, that all in Yonei Krev are an Issah Dairaisa. So the Giyai could be an Issah Dairaisa according to the Rambam. So the Mechaber is more Machmas that it'll come to this type of thing. And Rabbi Yosef writes that the Giyai Dei Dover Acher is not Yene Isser, and therefore still the Rabbanan, but it's more calm. Now, in the Nishra Safram, he brings a few examples of shilas that come up. He talks about eye drops, interesting shila, about putting eye drops into your wife's eyes at a time that she's a nida. Now, my understanding is that not only you don't touch her, but it's not the Giyai Dei Dover Acher either. Right, the drop falls into the eye, you're not supposed to be squirting. You know, so it's a mistake, you squirt, right? But you're supposed to drop one drop or two drops into the eye. He brings that eye drops are mutter for this reason. He brings the shaila from Avad Yosef about buttoning the shirt and tying the shoes for someone who is a mishatekes b'chatzi gufa, which means paralyzing half the body. And again, he says it's mutter, it's not negiyah. Mamish. So he writes, it's interesting, he writes, as far as holding the eyelid open, Betzara Gadol. And I think he says you should wear gloves when you do it.
How is that different than, let's say, dropping something into her purse?
So the eye drop is not a problem. Holding the eye open is where it's an issue. But he talks about holding her hands during labor. He brings again for Avad Yosef that's Aser. Because that's chiba, that's gishal chiba, and it's aser. Now, the one thing that I didn't understand, he brings from Rabbi Yosef a tshuva about adjusting the height of the bed up and down. So that I don't understand the shaila, adjusting the bed for a chayla, a man for his wife for a, that it's hard for me to understand. It's not iser shabai. Why is it different than driving her in a car or pushing a button on an elevator? I mean, it seems, it feels a little different, but you're not lifting her.
Like
you're pushing a button that lifts her. You're pushing the gas pedal that moves her. An elevator, you're also pushing a button that makes her go up. So I don't know, unless he means the old crank, remember the to crank it up once, and to crank it up once, I understand. The difference is, with a crank, you're moving her. Just a bunch of wheels that make it happen. With a button, you're putting on a machine that moves her. You're turning on a machine, which would seem similar to... It's like the... So you want to compare it to the machine masters of the Lishma. Okay, I don't know. All right. Interesting things. Anyway, this is the thing. Now, I want to learn just to Yud Zayin. It's like preparing the bed for her. Preparing the bed. Sure, okay. The Sif Yud Zayin. There's an important shach here. Where just the last sif, I would like to finish the simin. So I'll just give you a basic overview. The mechaber in Baila Raifa, if the husband's a doctor, Osa Lamashesh Lo Hadefek. I'm not sure what Lamashesh Hadefek. In Hebrew, it means taking the pulse, to take her pulse. I'm not sure if that's what it means here in the Shulchan Aruch, or it means some other type of a physical contact as part of a refuah. Well, the Fimash Sarat Machaber. Again, the Ramah said, the Fisham Ksafti, Nagin Iheter. It's Richel of the Mashishla, Koshkin, the Mutal Mashishla, Defek, in May Rai Fahakim, it's Richel of Yeshakana Bechoya. There's no Sakana in taking the pulse, but the Chayl itself is a Sakana. It's Mutter, Vahayim Barachayim, Simin, Peches, and Mutal, and Nidal, Ikonis, the Besaknesis, Lespal. We know with Nag that they are Mutter to go into a shul. To be bespowled. The meaning that women who are needis don't go to a cemetery is the last Ram Pischei Tshuva in this simon. It's a good maramakim to know. No, go on Asher, Shalai Leilach, Abes HaChaim, Lispalel, Bebi Nidusa, V'nochinu. That women don't go, but the Niel of a meaning that women needis don't go to the mikveh, to the Beis HaKvaris. And I mentioned to you from a couple of sources, or Scheinberg, that it's only when she's actually bleeding, as opposed to the rest of the month. Now, what I wanted to mention here is the Shach. Just in passing, but there's a machlekes, the Shach and the Shmuel, regarding the Giyah She'enoi Shalchiba, by all Erva. By an Erva, we know the Giyah is in the Derech. So, Sikhvu L'Gayis Erva, you're not allowed to hug or touch B'Derechiba, a woman who's Asa to you. What about the Giyah She'enoi Shalchiba? What about touching in a way that's not chiba at all, just in a matter of course. A woman gives change and she touches you as she's giving you change, something like that. This is the Shach. The Shach is actually in Kuftun Zayin of Katan Yud, and here he holds the Negiah Sheinah Shel Chiba is not Osir Bechlal. There's no Isser of Negiah that's not a Negiah Shel Chiba. The Beis Shmuel disagrees and holds that it's Isser Derabbanan. Isser Derais the Negiah Shel Chiba. The Negiah Sheinah Shel Chiba is an Issa Drabban. It's a basic machlaikis in the Inyan of Negiah. We mentioned many times the Shaila about shaking hands with a woman, which is discussed in the Paiskim. In the business world, I think it's become accepted in many circles that it's something that's it's mutter. It's not 100% pashut that it's mutter. The Stipler writes, it's Yehorg Val Yavar. To shake hands with a woman, he says, Negiah Shalchiba, it's a friendly Negiah. Ramesh has three tshuvas on the topic. And he also considers it Negiah Shel Chiba. He doesn't write Yehorg Val Yavar. Bezrayu de Aroi is not so pashut. That's Yehorg Val Yavar. Ramesha in three tshuvas writes that it's an Issa Daraisa. In the third tshuva, the Shoyal writes to him that Rav Breuer was Mekel. So there he writes to explain Rav Breuer Shita that if Rav Breuer was Mekel, it must be he holds that it's not Negiah Shel Chiba. It's not a negiah that shows any connection. It's a formality. Because it's a business meeting, you have to shake hands. And it's not a negiah shel chiba that could be the only reason that he'd be matir. Even then, it's a machlokes to Beis Shmuel and the Shach, but it's a machlokes if it's a drabon. So those who are mekel are being soimach on the Shach. That's the negiah she'ena shel chiba. That's mutter. But it's important to know that those who are mekel because the negiah she'ena shel chiba. But if it's... If you're doing it to express appreciation or friendship, then tzicha, everybody holds it. So what I tell the boys who will go out for interviews, I tell them, it's a I can't pass him for you. But if you're mekel, look, b'shasat chak, yisay mechanet as yachid. So you go for an interview for a job, you shake the hand. But as soon as you get the job, you stop. Once you have the job, that's a shishas atzairach, you know. So, you know, your boss, she wants to shake the ear, say, you know, I'm a from Jew. You weren't a from Jew yesterday, you know. So I don't know how you explain it exactly, but you have to try to avoid it. The best thing is if you have your hands are full. If you walk in, you have things in your hands. So, you know, if you bring her a coffee or something, then it's not likely. Or pretend you have a cold, that's a very good idea. So, yes.
So if there's a heter, that's not going to heter. The gear shein shochiba, it's just done for that reason. Okay, now I wanted to start chelak gimel of Yoredeya. Rabbi Yosef suggests that we spend a week. There's a simin on Besulim. Whatever you want to go to chelak gimel, should we do the few the small simanim that we skipped? Who wants to go to chelak gimel right away? Who wants to do the simanim we missed? So it seems like what? Yosef, let's finish this. All right, so we have another 2 weeks. I'm going to ask you for a favor.